Well, so a lot of, you know, we didn't learn much this week, so I'm going to speak more than I thought I was going to speak about Lama Gimel Lama Dalet, just to speak about a few more Nyanim. But then I also wanted to say a little bit about Lama Hei, just so we should end this Tekufa of the year back on Lama Hei, to get back on the Nyanim of Matzah. You know, it's the beginning of what's going to be four Dafim, talking about the Dinim of making Matzah. So Lamed Gimel, there's a big machlokes Rishonim here on the daf between Rashi and Tosis. Rashi and Tosis have a machlokes about what is the shear for Tumas Ochlam. There are four things that can be makabel Tuma. Right, people, a person, but only a Jewish person, in a Torah only Klal Yisrael could become Tamei. Gaim are always Tahar. Kalim, anything made by a person. And the other two things are Ochlim and Mashkin. Now the shear for Ochlim, the Pasuk says, is if a sheretz falls on any Ochl asher ye'achal. It uses the lashon of any, touches any Ochl asher ye'achal. So Chazal Darshan, from the fact that it says Ochl asher ye'achal, doesn't just say ochel. Stam ochel is maybe any ochel, or perhaps a kazayis. A kazayis is usually the shear of achila. However, from the lashon asher ye'achal, those extra words, Chazal darshins, ochel of which could be eaten, they say it's the maximum ochel, the shear of ochel, which could be eaten, b'bas achas. So Chazal say that the shear of what a person could swallow in one swallow is a kibetza. If you have a really big shear of a beitza, so it won't work. But a beitza, meaning an average size egg, that's the shear of the beis ha-blia, and therefore that's the shear for Kabbalah's Tuma, is beitza. Now, very clear in our Gemara, is that that's the shear of Tumas Ochlim for what's the shear of an Ochl that it could be metame something else. If you have a kibetza of food that's tameh, and then another piece of food touches it, if that food, the first piece of food, was touched by a sheretz and it's tameh within Rishon, that food touches something else, that will become a sheni. It has the power to give over to transmit tumah. And that's clear from our Gemara that's a stafka kibetza. A kibetza means that the amount of food is somehow joined together, right? Not two separate pieces of food, but a clump of food, a piece of food that's the size of kibetza, has the power to transmit tumah. However, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam on Lamed Gimel, they have a machlokus about what about Kabbalah's tumah? Not about transmitting tumah, but for something to become tameh. Rashi writes that even less than a kibetza, even if you have one Cheerio, if that Cheerio is touched by a Tamei person, the Cheerio becomes Tamei. And he comes from a very strong Makkah, he quotes the Torah's Kohanim. Torah's Kohanim says that there's an extra mem in the Pasuk, it says, Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. And the mem teaches me that even though the Shear for Tumas Ochlin, that the Ochel should be able to transmit Tumah, the Shear is a kibetza, however, to receive Tumah, even a mashu or Cheerio could be makabel tumah. Rabbeinu Tam is cholik. He says no. He says look, in a chinami there's a Torah's Kohanim, but he says in our Gemara, and he has other Gemaras, but he says from our Gemara it sounds like even to become tameh, the shear is a kibetza, because our Gemara talks about a tameh mace who is squeezing grapes. So the halacha is that if a tummy mace touches anything, it becomes tummy, but only if it was mukshal kabel tuma. Food, ochel, has a kul in it. That ochel is not necessarily makabel tuma. If you just pick an apple off a tree, tummy person picks an apple off a tree, that apple is totally tahar. Right? When you just eat an apple, you're eating taharas. You're eating chulin but tahara. That's tahar, right? Most food you eat is not tahar. But that food is actually tahar. Because the pasuk said that there's a din by ochlin that it only becomes makabel tuma if it's been touched with mashkin. Mashkin is more chamer. Mashkin automatically becomes tummy, and it becomes tummy b'kol shehu. But ochlin has this din, one of these strange tuma matar dekadinim, that it only becomes needs hechsher. So the Gemara says that if someone is squeezing grapes and the grapes has a kibetza, right, a grape is usually smaller than an egg, but if it's a cluster of grapes that has a kibetza, and you squeeze the grapes, so the grapes become mukshul kabel tuma, because as soon as you squeeze them, the grape juice goes in the grapes, and now the grapes are kabel tuma. But since at the moment when the grape juice comes out of the grapes, and it's machshir of the grapes are already less than a kibetza, so therefore the grapes will not be makabel tuma. So Rabbeinu Tam says, it sounds from our Gemara that only a kibetza could be makabel tuma. Rashi says not that way, and Tosfos explains to Rashi that the way he'll learn the Gemara is that no, the truth is like the Torah's Kohanim, a mashu is makabel tuma, but only a kibetza could be mukshar makabel tuma. Meaning Rashi will hold that in order for something for food to be turned into roi makabel tuma, it has to be touched by mashkin when the ochel was the size of the kibetza. If you have one grape and you wash it off in water, it won't be makabel tuma, because only the shir of kibetza could become mukshar makabel tuma, could change its status from something that's not makabel tuma to something that is makabel tuma. Only kibetza could transmit tuma. But once the shir of kibetza has become mukshar, you wash off that apple, which is bigger than a kibetza. Now, even if you take a tiny piece of that apple and a tummy person touches it, it will become tummy. Right? A tar person picks the apple and washes off the apple. Now it could be makabel tuma. Now if you cut off a tiny piece of that apple and a tummy person touches it, Rashi says that will be able to be makabel tuma. Okay. Now, I told you we're only talking about things that are halacha l'maisa. There's too much to sit on. But the emesis is quite a halacha l'maisa machlokis, because we find in Arachayim Kufnun Ches and Hilchos Matilas Yadayim, this is the basis of a machlokus, an important machlokus. People aren't aware of it. Now, what is the shear of bread that this bread has to have in order to require an Matilas Yadayim? And people usually just assume it's pashut. Any amount of bread you have to have an Matilas Yadayim. So it's not pashut. The Rokeach writes, the shear for an Matilas Yadayim is the shear of kibetza. If you eat less than a kibetza, you could eat without washing. And this is brought as a yesh omrim in Shulchan Aruch. And the basis for this is that the Rokeach holds like Rabbeinu Tam. The Rokeach says that ochlim are only makabel tuma in a kibetza. The yisod of Netilas Yadayim is a din of tuma v'tara. Even though we don't have tuma v'tara today, but Chazal left for us one din of tuma v'tara to keep us going until Mashiach. And that's the din of Netilas Yadayim. That before eating, there's a din that your hands, if they haven't been washed, have a din of a shein l'tumah, and they become tahar through Netila, and therefore they were mitakin that even our pashur achila of bread should have been given kedusha as if we were eating truma, even though we're Yisraelim. Therefore, we need a level of tahara. So that tahara is Netilas Yadayim. However, The Rokeach quotes from the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Rav Tzadok, the Tana, Rav Tzadok, would eat pachus mikibetza without Netilas Yadayim, and therefore he says that's the halacha, you don't need Netilas Yadayim for pachus mikibetza. And he says the reason is like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's just only kibetza mikabel tuma. Even if less of the kibetza is makabel tuma, hitainas is just rabbanon, because really the din of ochel is dafka when it has shir kibetza, and therefore he says it doesn't need to Netilas Yadayim. Rokeach writes, it's interesting, he writes about the Seder. He says in the Seder, by Rachza, his by Rachsa we all know that we wash with the bracha. So he says, the Rokeach says, you think you wash with the bracha because you're coming to eat bread? He says, it's not the reason. He says, because you're eating matzah, you're only eating a kezayis. We have an emissar meaning to see two kezayis, but you're eating a kezayis. And he says, therefore, really, you should be able to you shouldn't have to wash. And he says, the reason you're washing and the reason you make a bracha on the washing, he says, is because you're going to dip the maror into charoses. And he says, therefore, when you dip maror into charoses, charoses is a mashke. His charoses is a mashke. And therefore, a mashke mar makabel tumah b'kol shehu. And therefore, you have to wash until it's yedayim. Right? I mean, he goes like what most Rishonim hold. Right? What Shulchan Aruch holds. Not everyone's careful about this. But if you have anything, any food that's dipped into a liquid, into one of the mashkim, so you have to, like, you eat a pickle. So many people, what Machmur, the Mishnah Berurah says to do it, they wash out before they eat a pickle. Because if you eat it with your hands, you eat a mashke with your hands, not like you drink something that's in a cup, you eat a pickle with your hands, the pickle is wet, mashke is makabel tumah with a kolshu, and therefore you wash until it's yedayim. Right? There's a kulos, there are shown who are makel, the minix to be makel, not pushing chumas. But that's what the Rukeach says. So the Rukeach says, right, the gra actually before urchat, before washing, before the karpas, he would make a bracha. For the tilis yadayim for doshu to look mash up. So by rachsa, so you wash again. Why do you wash again? Because maybe you stop being careful about washing your hands. You wash again, and the rokeach says the bracha that you make is only for the maror, but the real tilis yadayim is not for the matzah because it's less than a kavetza. So the Shulchan Aruch brings that. He brings the yesh oimim that you when you wash for less than a kibbetz, you wash without a bracha. He doesn't say not to wash. He says to wash without a bracha. And that's the halacha. That's the accepted minhag, is that if you eat less than a kibbetz, even though it's a kezayis and you have to bench on it, so if you eat less than a kibbetz, so you should not make a bracha on the sedayim. Usually, it's just so usually, the gabi tum of atara, it goes by a kibbetzah even the way it is after it's baked. So usually, whenever you eat a kezayis that you're going to bench on, a kezayis for benching, I'll just say it like this. Usually it doesn't make such an afkim. Usually you're not going to bench and not wash, because not wash with the bracha. Because usually our kezayisim, our kezayisim for benching, we were more machmer on what a kezayis is. So if it's the size of, but by tumah v'tahara it's clear that even if the bread's very blown up, like expanded, it's a lot in the ear, the halacha l'gabei tumah v'tahara is you're still mashayer a kebeitza the way it is. So therefore, l'gabei the kebeitza, if you just imagine an egg, what an egg looks like, and that amount of bread, you make an alitzis yadayim, less than that, you don't make an alitzis yadayim. So that's a very mekel shita. The opposite shita, though, you find in the Beis Meir, on Kufrin Ches. Beis Meir writes, Lahefek, he says, you look at the Rambam just writes that whenever you make a motzi, anytime you make a motzi, you wash. If it's a motzi, you have to wash. So Beis Meir says that's because the Iker is not like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam might have some riots, you can see in Tosus, but nothing that's so mochruch. And the Maisa most Rishonim go like Rashi because it's the favorite Torah's Kohanim, that less than a kibbetz is makabel tumah. So therefore he says that's the way the Rambam holds that even a mashu is makabel tumah, and therefore the Rambam holds even a mashu is mechayev netilas yadayim. So that's the machmor shita. The Mishnah Berurah says it is good lechatchila to be machmor like that. You know, could be b'shas tzchak, there is some room to be makel here, but them is the Shasat Chach, really, I feel one could be Mekel. But that's the Shita's Beis Meir. It goes by Kol Shehu. Now, halacha l'maisa, the ikur though, you know, if you want to know what the ikur is, it seems the Mishnah Berurah takes this as the ikur, is what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says he doesn't believe the whole thing. He doesn't believe that it has anything to do with our sugya. He says the shear from the Tzilus Yadayim is a kazayas. He says why? He says because the Gemara is a favorite. One thing we have a favorite in the Gemara. There's only one Gemara that talks about this, and that's that Rabbi Tzadok didn't wash for less than a kibetza. So he says he doesn't believe at least the halacha. He says the ikur halacha, you can't say it has anything to do with Kabbalah's tumah. He says because the ikur in Rishonim is like Rashi. The ikur is Kabbalah's tumah is b'kol shu. He says so. What's pshat in Rabbi Tzadok? Why didn't Rabbi Tzadok wash for less than kibetza? So says the Gemara, if you look in the Gemara also says that Rabbi Tzadok didn't bench on less than a kibetza. Rabbi Tzadok was the opinion, it's machlokas tanam, what's the shear of achila for berchas hamazon. We hold it's kizayis, but there's a shear that it's kibetza. So the Melech says that's the pshat of Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok just held a different shear of how much you have to eat for berchas hamazon. But the emes is, he says, it's din of berchas hamazon. Chazal, they know that we don't know so much about tumah v'tahara, and they were just misakin. If it's a suda that's going to require berchas hamazon, you also need to have this extra kedusha of metilas yadayim. But if it's not, you don't need metilas yadayim. So he says it's a shear of so that's what he says. And he just makes a pasha point. The Gemara says, he says he doesn't understand the whole thing with kibetza. What's the Rokeach saying? It's a din of kibetza. If it's a din of kibetza, it should have to do with all the dinim of tumah v'tahara. In tumah v'tahara, if you're eating a lot of grapes, and each individual grape or each piece of bread, you're eating bread, you're eating a whole suda of bread, but every piece is cut into separate pieces, and each individual piece is not a kibetza, so it won't be mekabel tumah, right? The din of kibetza doesn't have to do with how much you eat, it has to do with the size of the actual piece of food that you're eating. So he says, even the Rokeach, he certainly didn't. L'chayra, you know, all the Gemara says in Sukkah is Rabbi Tzadok didn't even wash on less than a kibetza. L'chayra, more than a kibetza, even if it wasn't one piece, l'chayra, he would have washed. So the Gemara says he doesn't think the whole thing's true. He thinks the ikur halacha is, it's all telling kibetza, it's all telling the shear of berchas hamazon. Memela, we hold l'halacha that the shear for benching is a kazayis. The Meili says the shear from the Tzilus Yadayim is a kazayis. So that's the Gruch. So there is that ambiguity there. Those who wash on pickles, so I used to always assume that I don't have to wash on a pickle less than a kibetza. Why? Because washing for dosha tibula b'mashke is something of a chumrah, and a less than a kibetza also, the shita is not makabel tuma. And therefore, I thought there's room to be makel. Until I learned the sugya better, I realized that no, mashkin, everyone agrees is makabel tuma b'kol shehu. And the whole idea of washing for something that's tibulosh b'mashke, why is it? It has nothing to do with berchas hamazon, you don't bench on the pickle. It has to do with this chumrah of mashkin. Right, mashkin chazal. One of the hardest parts of tumah v'tahara is this. It's just actually the most mysterious part is tumas mashkin. Chazal were extremely machmor on mashkin. Mashkin have extreme dinim when it comes to tumah v'tahara. It's tumah v'kol shehu. Not only that, there's this very strange din that if a rishon touches mashkin, the mashkin stays tumah as a rishon. Mashkin stays tamed. Even if one mashkin touches another mashkin, touches another mashkin, stays tamed. There's extreme chumrah of tumas mashkin. Memela, it could be that even in a kol shehu, one would have to wash. You know, we do wash. It's interesting. You know, we wash before karpas, right? Which is interesting because we're eating less than a kazayas of karpas. So it's a little bit strange. If you're eating less than kazayas, why are you bothering to wash, right? And there's somebody asking, we all year we don't wash, why we wash now? Okay, so we're from on Pesach, that I understand. But why are we even being machmir unless the gazai is to wash? So could be really does make sense. El gabi davar shetibul b'mashka, there's actually room to be even more machmir than we are on bread. Okay. So another sugi here that's also no geya to halacha maisa in the Tennessee day. Yeah.
It's a minhag that only the person who's like eating a seder would watch, right? Is that a real
minhag? Right, so that minhag is based on the mir of Rishayim who hold that there's really no din of tibul mashka if it's not real tumah tara. And if so, the only reason we're washing my karpas is so that the kid should ask. Right? But I hate that. Yeah, okay. Fine. Alright, okay. So anyway, so there's a din of the Gemara of Hesach Hadass. Right, very far afield. Hesach Hadass, that Rashi tells us, we learn from a pasuk by Truma, a practice in Dini Truma, that's called as Sushmartim as Smashmarti, as Mishmeres Trumasi. There's a din of Shmira by Truma, and so too by Kadshim. There's a din that has to have a Shmira to it. So what does that tell me? That tells me that if someone's Masiach Das from washing Truma or Kadshim, they become Pasal. Of course, it doesn't mean, you know, Truma, of course, being Masiach Das, the Kohen goes to sleep, he's not always thinking. But it has to be in a state of Shmira. If Truma is ever left in a state that it's completely left to possibly become tame, there's no, it's not in a safe place. Nobody even knows where it is. It's just left alone outside with no one knowing what's happening to it. So it becomes pasal. As the Yerushalmi and Truma says, that's psul deraisa. We say like Rav Yochanan, the concept in our Gemara, Rav Yochanan says, halach like Rav Yochanan says, the concept is we're being shomer from Tuma. If Eliyahu would come and tell us that this did not become Tameh, or if we had video cameras and we saw that nothing Tameh happened, so then you'd be allowed to eat the Truma. But since there was no Shmir from Tuma, it becomes Pasal. Now, Legabe Tuma Vatara, it doesn't become Tameh. It becomes pasul, but l'gabei tumah v'tahara, we assume it's tahar. You know, if you ever leave something tahar in Rishus HaRabim. So the halacha is, even if there's a safek, if this thing that's tahar touched something tameh, right? We find a dead mouse right next to the taharos, right? A tahar person walks through a narrow area, and it's possible he walks without touching the dead body, but it could be he did, and he has no idea. So the halach is the person's tar, completely tar. Even the gabbish kachum and tar still have a din of tar, because the din is suffik tuma birshus harabim sveiko tar. There's a din that it's tar. But there's a din of achilas truman kachum that to eat it, it has to be in a state of shmira, and if you weren't shimer it, so it becomes pasal. So this is actually no geya. Just one point in the Tilos Yedayim that people don't know. There's a mission in Taharos. Taharos is Perek Zayin Mishnah Ches, and it tells us that the din of Hesach Hadas is no geya to the din of the Tilos Yedayim. Right? This is halach lemaisa. People don't know this. When you wash your hands, people say, "You wash your hands now, you can eat." So it's really not like that. The soda of washing your hands is that you're getting off the tumma that was on them. And if you don't wash your hands, they'll go right back to being tummy. The concept of an Tilos Yedayim is that after the Tilos Yedayim, you're not touching anything. You don't touch an avatum, you don't touch a sheretz. But not only that, more than that, Chazal said, legabe achila, even touching a covered part of your body makes your hands into what's called a sheni l'tumma. Sweat or anything that smells has this din of tuma. That's a type of tuma, not real tuma, but it makes the hands into what's called shnios, a second level of tuma, the level of tuma that's only tuma legabe kachim and truma, and for Tilos Yedayim and for bread. Yeah.
So some people get like sweaty hands.
No. So any sweat, any sweat. It's only sweat in covered places, places that are covered. Sweat of the face also, you know, Chazal Kor Pasuk says, "V'zeis ha'pecha tocha lechem." With the sweat of your brow, you could eat bread. So they say that so too the sweat of the face and places that are uncovered, public places, so that sweat you could eat bread with, but not the covered places. So that's the din. And therefore the Mishnah says that if you're Masiach Das from being Shomer your hands, so you need a Tilis Yadayim again. Masiach Das, I don't want, you know, you don't have to be neurotic about it, but it just means that this basic consciousness that I'm at a meal and I can't touch my shoes. In a meal you can't touch your shoes. If you touch your shoes you have to wash again. So it was a little bit strange about that. This is Mishnah Yadayim. The Mishnah Yadayim says the failures that Yadayim for Chulin were very makel because it's just a takanah d'rabbanan, and therefore any suffix in a tilas Yadayim, you go lakula. If you have a suffix, you're no till Yadayim, and then you have a suffix, maybe I touched something tame, we assume you didn't touch something tame, and your hands are tar. You have a suffix in a tilas Yadayim, your suffix you washed, and that's sure if you washed right. Your suffix is tar, it's tar. So sapella, if you have a suffix, it's such a makel din. And yet this is din of hesach hadas. And the Mishnah says in Taharis, it says the person who's completely masiach yadas, even if he says, yodea mi shalo nitma yadi, yad of tzmeyam. Even if he says, I know I wasn't with time in my hand, but I wasn't thinking about being shayim in them. I thought my meal was over. I thought I'm not eating now. And I didn't have to wash my hands. But I remember, I didn't touch anything. He says Yadayim are askanios, and he's still worried, and he has to do this time again. So the chur of pshat is this din of shmira. There's a din of shmira by truma and kachim and hands for eating bread. This din of shmira that you have to have a shmira from tuma in order to have the necessary kedusha in order to eat. Okay. All right. There's another sugya here, okay? I'm trying to convince you, by the way, that in these Taristika Gemaras, there's really what to talk about halacha. So one other inyan here. Gemara tells us on Lamed Daled that Abba Shaul worked in Rebbe's house, and he did the kneading. I don't know, he was like the baker, I don't know exactly what he did, but it sounds a little strange, right? But Abba Shaul worked in Rebbe's house. And it tells us that he would heat Rebbe's stove with wheat of Truma Temeya. Right? Truma Temeya, you're not allowed to eat or use, but you're allowed to burn it. And therefore he would heat up hot water in Rebbe's house with Truma Temeya. That was okay. Oh, so this is something that's no Geyel Maisa with the din of Chala, right? Even in Chutz La'aretz, we have Chala, and that Chala has to be burnt. And many women actually don't know what to do with Chala. You know, it's something, Chala often builds up, because people don't know exactly how am I supposed to dispose of this Chala. I don't know in your houses, even in my house, even though I know I'm not supposed to. But I have a lot of things of challah in my house because I don't take care of it. Just telling you my. But this is the thing. Many people save challah until Sreifas Chametz. You know, because the idea, you know, like you burn, there's a minug that people burn their lulav with beer chametz, because since the mitzvah, do another mitzvah to burn chametz. So therefore they take the challah and they put it into the beer chametz. Fine. Now the emes is it's really good to get rid of your challah right away, because our Gemara tells us that you're very afraid of having truma tzmeah around. Challah has a din of truma. Truma tzmeah, you don't have to want to have it around, the Gemara tells us, because we're afraid that it's asi behenli de takala, you're going to come to accidentally eat it. So the truth is we want to get rid of it. But how do you get rid of it? So you see from this Gemara an amazing thing. Maybe not amazing if you don't learn Trumas, but if you learned the sex of Trumas, is a little bit surprising, that you're allowed to just use it to cook your food with it. Just put it in your oven, right? Even if you have a wood oven, you could put it in the oven and use that, use the heat of that in order to cook your food. So that's the Parsha Gemara. Tosis though has a big kasha here. His kasha is because he learned Maseches Trumos, and therefore he knows this is a little bit strange, because really truma has to be used by a kohen. Now truma tahora, we understand is used for only for the kohen. Truma temeya, it can't be eaten. But the use of it seems in Maseches Truma should be to a kohen. The Mishnah in Truma says that Truma Temeya, you could use it to light the base Knesset and the base Medrash, or an alleyway that's used by the public that's dark, because all of those are Tashmishei Mitzvah. It says you're allowed to use it for a chola. Sorach a chola, you're allowed to do Truma. It says you have to get reshus from the kohen before you use it for the chola. But the assumption of the Mishnah seems to be, Tosus points out, is that you can't just have a Yisrael using truma tzemeya even for burning it. Of course, no one could eat it, but even for just using it as for light, it has to be used for a mitzvah, some type of a mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Tam says in Tosus Vayas, he says yes. Avada, it's aser to be used. Even Truma Tzmei is aser to Yisrael for use. It says, so what's our Gemara talking about? It was being Abishol is heating it up, using it in the house of Rebbe, because it was for the use of Kohanim and Beis Rebbe. And he says that, and even when it talks about lighting in the Beis Knesset, it's dafka if there are some Kohanim in the Beis Medrash. But stand for use of Yisrael, it's aser. So the Pnei Yeshua points out that in Rashi sounds like you're using it, he says, he's heating up Chanan for Rebbe. Right? Rebbe is from Yehuda and it's not a Kohen. Afal Pikein, it was mutter to use this Truma. So what's Pshat in Rashi? Since it was used for Rebbe, right? And the emphasis of Rabbeinu Tam is terribly shvar, both in Ar Gemara and in the Mishnayos and Shumos, it doesn't mention that there is a kohen there, right? It's a big, big thing. The Gemara should have piped up for Rebbe. How do you use truma for Rebbe? Rebbe's not a kohen. So the Rashi Mishans in Shumos, so he says different terms. He says no. He says avada, a Yisrael could use truma is not aser b'hana. A Yisrael could use it. There's nothing wrong with getting hana from your chala. He says, rather, it's a din rabbanan. There's a certain kedusha to truma, and that kedusha, we don't want it to be used just for total chul, we want it to be used for mitzvah. But b'makom mitzvah is completely mutter. And that's why it's mutter to use truma tzmeya to light the base medrash. And for Rebbe also, Rebbe was also using it for mitzvah, whatever the mitzvah was. But things being used for mitzvah, it's mutter because it's just a din rabbanan. That truma tzmeya should be used for mitzvah, but be'etzem there's no actual iser, right? Rabbeinu Tam understood that the din of shmiras truma is mechayev that truma should be used for kohanim, all hana. So l'maisa that seems to be the shita of Rashi, and most Rishonim is that this din is just the rabbanim, and therefore you don't have to worry so much about the inyan. Definitely mutter to smell the challah that's burning. You know, you don't have to worry about the smell. Even to use it for bir chametz l'chayra is mutter because that's also a mitzvah. There's an interesting Mordechai by us. I should mention Rav Kirshenbaum showed it to me. You know, but it's Hashem, everyone's going to get a chance to meet everyone. Is going to get a chance to really meet Rav Kirshenbaum the Shabbos. So he just pointed this out to me. The many people have a problem. How can they possibly just burn the chal in the oven? Right. The easiest way to get rid of chal, you have to get rid of chal immediately, is just to put it in your oven and burn it. Right. So they assume, of course, it has to be aser. But the Mordechai says by us, is you see from this, you're even allowed to put the bread the dough, the challah, into your oven and burning your oven, even though you have your bread, your bread baking there. Your bread's baking there. Aye, maybe some of the smell of the challah will go into the bread. That's something that we worry about. L'chatchilo, we usually worry, you know, usually we wouldn't let you cook a piece of chazer in your oven while you're cooking your bread. But he says that bread doesn't give off, it gives off a smell, but it's not a smell that's going to affect the other bread, and therefore he says it's mutter. Halacha l'maaseh, someone should wrap. It's better to wrap the challah, but you could wrap the challah and you could just keep it in your oven till it gets burnt to charcoal, and then you throw it in the garbage. Okay, I wanted to start the Mishnah. I want to take a little start on the Mishnah on Lamed Hay. Okay, so we should back to straight halacha l'maaseh. Okay, very halacha l'maaseh, this Mishnah. We'll just do, if you didn't get so far, I'm just going to do the first words of the Mishnah. Eilu dvarim she'adam yosei behen chovasa v'pesach. V'chitim v'sa'orim v'kusmin u'v'shifon u'v'shiboles sha'ol. Wheat, barley, spelt, rye, oats. Okay, so just talk. We don't have so long, but just talk about just these... these minim, what the minim are. Just first about the basic idea behind the minim. The Mishnah tells us there's five, and the Gemara breaks it into two groups. The Gemara says that spelt is included in the min of chitim, goes with chitim, and rye and let's not call it oats yet, because that's what we're going to talk about, but shibola shol is part of barley. It goes together with barley as a min of barley. Now, what's that talking about? Inin what? So Tosis is very bothered. Inin what is this talking about? It's not true. If you look in the beginning of Kalayim, it says that wheat can't be grown with any of the five minim. You can't grow even wheat and spelt. Spelt is, Banis will tell you, spelt is very close to wheat. But still, they can't be planted together. That's a problem of Kalayim. And so too, it's a problem of when you take Truma. If you have a spelt crop and a wheat crop, you can't separate it out from the wheat to pater the spelt. You have to take from each min of its own. Yeah.
If the Gemara is just going through and saying all five of these collectively, what's the point in dividing the category?
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah. So one second. Okay, you're 100% right. So that's the question. Raphael, that's perfect. The question is Bechlal was the Gemara talking about. Why is it divided into categories? So the real answer is, so Pnei Yeshua says like this. Pnei Yeshua says a beautiful thing. He says, Avada Lagabe meaning they're separate meaning when we're talking about Hafrash's Truma Kalayim. The Gemara means is that when we're talking about bread, there's two types of bread. There's a wheat family of bread, wheat and spelt, and there's a barley family of bread. L'inyan what? So Pnei Yeshua says, the reason the Gemara is bringing it, first in the matzah, he says like this. He says, Be'etzem, the Gemara is bothered by a problem. That in the Pasuk, we might have thought that lechem is only wheat and barley. Because there's a Pasuk that tells us, when it's telling us the Shivas Haminim, tells the Shivas Haminim, and the only grains in Shivas Haminim is wheat and barley. And then the next Pasuk, it says, Eretz asher lo b'meskenus tochel b'lechem. It says Eretz Yisrael, Shev Minim, and then it talks about Lechem. So apparently the only Lechem should be Chitim and Sa'orim. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us that we're marred by the other Minim because the Pasuk tells us that don't eat Chametz, eat Matzah. And Matzah is called Lechem Oni. And therefore the Gemara says that anything that comes to Chametz, anything that can be turned into Chametz, could also be used for Matzah. And it's considered b'chal matzah, and matzah is lechem, because it's called lechem oni. And therefore, the Gemara says that lechem is all these five minim, because these five minim could become chametz. Therefore, the Gemara learns, gzeir shava, lechem, that matzah could be used the five minim, and challah, you have to be mafresh challah on all those five minim, and isser of eating chadash is only knowing about these five minim, and so too, birchas hamazim is only by these five minim. So that's where it comes from. But the Gemara wants to tell us that these five minim, it still goes back to chitim and se'orim. Because the Pasuk Taktah says chitim and se'orim. And the concept behind it, The Pnei Yeshua says is that by bread, the din is that there's only two types of bread. Since the pasuk says chitim and se'orim, then says bread, it tells us all bread can be fitted into two categories of chitim and se'orim. And this is nogeya to hafrashas chala. Right? Tosus points out here that the Mishnah said in chala, legabe chala, there's a Mishnah in chala that tells us that spelt bread and wheat bread is one min. What does that mean? That means that if I bake, the shear of challah is, let's say, 5 pounds of challah. If I break 2.5 pounds of spelt bread and 2.5 pounds of wheat bread, it all is mistarved together to be mechayiv and challah. So too, I could take off a piece of spelt bread and patter the bread that I baked from wheat. However, if I also have rye bread made of 100% rye, not our rye bread, but rye bread, and I bake that, that's not mistar. That halacha is not mistar, and therefore, I would not be able to take off a roll of wheat and patter the roll of rye. And the concept behind this, even though there's five separate minim, when it comes to bread, the bread is very similar. And therefore, spelt bread and wheat bread are so similar that as bread, we view them as one min. They're one min of bread, even though they're not one min of grain. Right? You have to think about that a little bit, if that makes sense or not. But that as since they're so similar, when they're made into bread, they're considered one min, whereas when we're looking just as grain and kalayim, when they're growing in the field, they're considered different minim. I'll just mention that was miyashe for me, a stira in the tour, a very interesting stira. In Reish Ches in the tour, he's talking about the din of alamichia, and he asks, why is it that we make an alamichia on bread or cookies made out of any one of the five minei dagim? He points out that L'chor, that's strange, right? Because we make alamichia, the din of me'ein shalosh, the long bracha, we make for things from shivas haminim, right? By fruit, we only make for shivas haminim. L'chor, that concept of the bracha, is that right after saying the shivas haminim, the pasuk says, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. Right? So benching, the real din of benching is just of shivas haminim. So we were more machmer on the bracha achrona for shivas haminim. So okay, so that's good for chitim and se'orim, but why do we make alamichia for spelt and rye? So says the tour, one of the answers of the tour, he says, is that it's because the other minim are also part of shivas haminim, and he quotes our Gemara. He quotes our Gemara, that our Gemara says spelt is a type of wheat, and rye and oats is a type of barley. He says, therefore, it's all included in lechem. And in the pasuk of Birch Samazin, it says the word lechem. Very nice. So that's how we... So the kasha is... Right? You hear that? So he's saying, as bread, he says it's included in Shivas Aminim. So the problem is, it's the feirush is not part of Shivas Aminim. Because if you look in the Torah itself, in Reish Samach Ches, he says, it's the feirush in the Yerushalmi. He says that if you have different types of bread, you have... bread, wheat bread, and rye bread, so you make a bracha on the wheat bread before the rye bread. And he says the reason why, it's the feirush in the Yerushalmi, the reason why is because wheat and barley comes first, you make bracha on them and not on the other breads, because wheat and barley are from Shivas Haminim as opposed to the other Minim. Right? L'chor, that's the reason in our Mishnah, it says chitim and tzaorim. It says for matzah also, chitim and tzaorim take precedence. If you have a choice of what type of matzah to buy barley matzah for your mitzvah before you buy rye. There's a maila to barley. Why? Because it's part of the Shivas Aminim. So it's the favorite, it's part of the Shivas Aminim. So I thought l'chor the pshat could be is that there's a duality here in Shivas Aminim. That there's by bread, once it's bread, it's considered, it's part of the min of bread of chitim. Spelt is so close, spelt bread, that it's considered that this is lechem. The lechem shebo has chashivas like lechem of chitim. But actually, if you're looking at the actual minim, the grains, lemaisa, when it's a grain, the spelt is not one of the shifts haminim. Lagabe the grain shebo, it's not mentioned in the pasuk. It's not chita, and the mela as lechem it has chashivas, but it doesn't have that chashivas of the complete chashivas of chita and sorim. Lamaisa chita and sorim mentioned that even growing before they're made into bread, they had this chashivas, and the mela that those types of bread come first. Okay, all right. So we'll stop here. But Be'ez Hashem, just say, we're going to have a week of Chazara here. We're going to have a Bechina. Then we're going to start really getting into the Zinyanim. I'll just say, okay, so B'linad, when we start, I don't have time to talk about it. We didn't talk about what, if it's really true that Shibola Shol is oats. So we'll talk about, well, B'linad, we'll start with that, but then we'll start getting into Inyanei Matzah. Okay, Yashgayach. Okay, everyone should have a great Shabbos. Hopefully I'll see most of you. Okay, Hashem.